We are talking about the helper. How many can still use a little bit of help in your life? And so we're going to address the gifts today. We'll tell you about it in just a minute. But John 14 says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another what? Helper, that he may be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you. And here's the big deal. He will be in you. These things I've spoken while I'm abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. You know, everything you know right now, you didn't know at one point in your life. Do you know that? Everything that you know right now, you did not know at one point of your life. That's why I always remind myself of that when I want to, I think, oh, I never could learn that now. And I've learned new things. I've learned how to do this and that and how to get used to it. How many remember when you wondered what that internet thing was? How many have been there? Where is it? What is it? How does it get to your house? I mean, you kids that grew up in it, I mean, it's just normal for you. But there was one day we thought, is there a big computer somewhere in Brussels, you know, that's got all these facts? And how do you get there? And when you get on the internet, where does it go? Or what is it, you know, you have to realize when we grew up, we used to have a payphone on the side of the building out here. There was no cell phones. Come on. I used to see dinosaurs use them at times. So, I mean, that's how far back it used to go. All right. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. When the Helper comes, whom I'll send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So there is this, we call him the Helper. This is Helper number 4. And today I want to talk about, is he charismatic? And we'll talk about that. Father, we love you today. Thank you for opening up our understanding that we can really know truth. And so today, would you help us? Would you help us? Would you let the Helper help us? We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. All right. I believe that there had been a strategic plot by the enemy to keep us from walking with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I believe it's because I believe one of the biggest things I've really appreciated about the pastor I grew up under was he was charismatic, but not weird. Come on, somebody. He believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. He believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he wasn't weird. He still had a brain. He still believed that you could move in the power of the Holy Spirit without being, you know, in Zozo land, wherever you may be. All right. Is he charismatic? And, the reason many times I'm asked, what kind of church do you pastor? Many times I'm in a group at a business or somewhere else, and there's a lot of language normally that takes place. And once they find out who I am or what I do, many of them say, oh, we apologize. We didn't know you were a pastor. Da, da, da. And I said, no. I said, you have to worry about me. You know, it's God that's going to judge you. Well, not me. I said, God's always here. And I looked at one time, but they normally say, well, what kind of church is it that you pastor? And they say, oh, yeah, or is it a charismatic? And, or is it a Pentecostal? And so, you know, many times we try to use the word charismatic to be more, you know, cultural or more high class. You know, no, we're charismatic. And when they ask me that, are you a charismatic church? Because I don't know what they mean by that, honestly, because there's a cultural definition. There's a movement definition. And so when a person asks me that, my brain goes and thinks, well, what in the world they think that is? What did they experience? What they negative, positive? And so I asked them, I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, if you mean, do I believe in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, that's a definite yes, I'm charismatic. By saying that, do you believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And I would tell you a definite yes. But if you mean some of the weird manifestations and weird mannerisms that people have gotten into, then no, I'm not at that kind of charismatic church. I believe there was order. I believe, you know, order helps and it doesn't restrict power. It helps power. A river without borders, without banks becomes dissipated. It becomes, loses its strength. So I believe in organization. I believe God is still, everybody say God is still the God of order. He's still the God of order, and Paul wrote that in there in the area of the gifts. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit is charismatic, but let's look at the definition, the biblical definition of the word charismatic. And the word comes from the word charisma. And the word charisma, many of you remember the magazine come out called Charisma, literally means grace gifts. That's what the word charisma means. Chariz or Karis in the Greek language. There was a season when there was a lot of people naming their daughters Karis. That was a big name one year. And I remember there was a buddy of mine who pastors a church, and he said he had to talk one of his members out of naming their child Karis because their last name was Maddox. The dad thought that would be a great name for his daughter. He had talking about it. So when you understand that the word charisma, charis means grace in the Greek. And ma, when you put ma at the end of it, it means gifts. And literally it's a double declarative in terms of there's not every gift is a work of grace. A gift is something you didn't earn. A gift is a gift. You got it just was given to you by grace. And when you put the two together, it's like a double declarative. It's like saying grace gifts, even though gifts is a work of grace to begin with. And grace gives gifts. But it means grace gifts. And let me go in definition. And let me just give you the definition. What I define it is charisma is that instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer to exercise a gift for the edification of others. It is that instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who come alongside to help us, in the life of any believer to exercise a gift for the edification of somebody else. That is the definition of it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote, and he said, now concerning, everybody say now concerning. The reason he uses that phrase, which he uses six times in the book of 1 Corinthians, the reason he uses that phrase is, they had written him a letter asking him questions. And they wrote this letter asking the Apostle Paul questions. And Paul's letter to back to them, we call it 1 Corinthians, is in response to a letter they had about questions about things going on in their church. And one of the things that was going on in their church was the gifts of the Holy Spirit was operating, but not operating very orderly. And so Paul writes back, he says, now concerning gifts that you wrote to me about, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Anybody in here ever been ignorant in your life? Anybody else just besides me been ignorant in your life? And so when you understand that, I do not want you to be ignorant. And one of the things is the majority of Christians are ignorant about spiritual gifts. And most people really are ignorant about it. I don't know. Listen, when I first came over from my denominational church into the charismatic ranks, I remember the first time I saw anybody operating a gift, and I was mystified. I mean, I just sit there and watched them. You're supposed to close your eyes, but I couldn't close. I just watched them. I watched their mouth move. I watched them do it. I said, how do they know to do that? How do they know to say that? How did they know that? How do they do that? And I was just mystified by watching them. I used to do that a lot. I remember I was over doing a little group over in Hammond, and I remember we had a guy come in. He moved in, and he was operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I would just watch him because I was just enthralled by it, and I was just amazed. And then I, of course, growing up in the charismatic ranks back in the 70s, I saw a lot of extremism and a lot of mannerisms and a lot of things that had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, which is kind of different. So the reason he said now concerning because he wants to give them instructions on a question that they had asked him. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any what? In any gift. You are not lacking in any gift. So one of the keys is he wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. So that'd be a question I'd ask you this morning. Are you neglecting the spiritual gift that's in you? Or are you ignorant of it? Are you just kind of watching and not really understanding and believing and knowing that you maybe have something in you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are supposed to be operating in or being used in your life? Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Well, in chapter 12, where Paul wrote and he begins to talk to them, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he begins to say to them. He said, let me kind of explain it to you so you understand it a little bit better. And here's what he says. Let me let you know that there are diversities. That means there's different gifts. There's there's many, many different gifts. And I don't believe that he exhausted the list. I believe he just gave majority. He gave the major one, whatever it might be. And he said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. A lot of you got different gifts, all right? Then verse 5. There are different differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Now watch this. That means this. That means there are different ministries that with even though there are different gifts, and say somebody has the same gift, this person has the same gift as this person over here, it may not operate the same in each of their lives. Because not only is there diversities in different gifts, but within each gift, there is different ways to minister it. All right? Different ministries. There are diversities of activities. And even within the same, if two people happen to have the same kind of ministry, the way it comes out, they minister their gift, they might be even diverse in that because there's diversity in that. So kind of it just kind of multiplies out of how diverse it may be. And what Paul is saying, there's no cookie cutter way to say if this person has this certain gift and this one has the same certain gift, that it's going to look the same when they operate, when they move, when they say, when they speak. And one of the biggest reasons is, you can read about it, he begins then to list, he said, there are diversity of activities, but it's the same God in everybody. He's saying it's the same Spirit in everybody. Even though it's so totally different, don't think, well, maybe, no. He said it's the same Spirit in everybody. It's just that it comes out differently in different people. So don't think the way if a person's got this certain gift that you saw it happen one time, that's the only way that gift can operate is in that same. No. It can operate in a totally different way. And the reason is, I believe the reason is, well, look at verse 8. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of everybody. It's not just for our own good, for everybody. For one is given, he begins to list them. One is given the word of wisdom. There's a gift. And listen, don't get into spooky land now when we read these gifts. Because it's one of the best things that ever happened in my life was Brother Samuel. I went to travel the world with Brother Samuel. And you ought to see him operating. He was Middle Eastern. And if you've been around the Middle Eastern people, they have a mentality. And it's just, I don't know how to say it. The Middle Eastern have a mentality that they grew up in their culture. And it's a different culture. And when you do that, I'm talking about just how he, you know, how he viewed different things of how life ought to be. And but you got to watch it. When he would operate in the gifts, he wouldn't, you know, whoa, 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 and suddenly you say, what happened? And he was just natural. He would just, I mean, God would just use him, and he would just, by the Spirit of God, he would just do things and say things in his natural voice. He didn't go, hur! We used to have, there was a time in our church back in the 70s when anyone was going to prophesy, you knew they were going to prophesy because here's what would happen. And it was like a volcano about to explode. And it was just a mannerism we got into. And it didn't invalidate the word, but it sure didn't help. You know, anything like that. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Here's a gift. Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of, notice plurality here. Plural. Gifts of healings. Not a gift of healing, but a gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, plural again. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works in everybody, distributing as he will. So it's the same Spirit. And I'm going to bypass. If you want to read this later, you can read Romans chapter 12. And Paul gives another list of the gifts. And I believe that they literally in Romans 12 is a motivational gift. It's what's behind inside of you that why you're doing what you're doing. And so what I believe it is the reason why the gifts look so different, even though this person may have the same gift as this person, the motivation may be totally different. And nothing to do with good or bad motivation. I'm talking about the motivation maybe. This person may be literally motivated from a help standpoint. This person may be motivated maybe from a prophetic standpoint. So it's totally different of how that operates. So it's a different way. So I believe the reason is primarily that's the reason why. So let me go through these 9 gifts. And I'm going to break them up into 3 categories. And then you'll see them. And it's going to help you to remember them. You can get, they're all 9 together. But we're going to break them up into 3, 3, and 3 and call them 3 different categories that will help you. The first one is called the perceiving gifts. These are gifts that help you perceive. Now get with me here. The Holy Spirit wants you to be used in these gifts. You don't have to be the pastor or the elder or the deacon or the small group leader to operate in these gifts. Everybody can operate in these gifts. Everybody can. The Holy Spirit's come to help you operate in these gifts. And you don't have to be unnatural when you do. You can be just as natural as you can be standing. Listen, the Lord used me one time. I was standing in line at a 7-Eleven. And I remember the Lord told me to say something to the person in front of me. How many know that's not churchy? That's not even, I'm not in church. The last song hadn't been played yet. I'm just standing in line at 7-Eleven, and I felt the Lord say, and I did, and there was the Lord. But I'll give you something. Okay, the first one is the word of knowledge. First thing the helper can help you with, and in your life, everybody, listen, I don't believe that any person has to have just one gift. I believe that many times that's what we're built, and he uses primarily in one gift, but I believe every person can be used in every gift according to the need. Whatever the need of the situation is, the Lord can use you in that gift. You don't say, I don't have that. Well, that's not my gift. I can't. The Holy Spirit is the owner of the gifts, not us. It's not our gifts. It's the Holy Spirit's gift. And he can use anybody at any time whenever he needs to use you. So one of the things he can use you with is this thing called the word of knowledge, which is to know something special without having learned it by natural means. In other words, the Holy Spirit will tell you something that you didn't learn by natural. He'll just tell you something about it. Jesus was at the woman at the well. Remember that story? And he's talking to her, and he said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have one. He said, well, you're telling the truth right there, because you've had a bunch of them, and the guy you're living with, you didn't even bother to marry him. How many know what she said? She looked, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. I had a buddy of mine, and he was in a restaurant eating, and a weightlifter came in the restaurant. And I mean, he said the guy was muscle bound. I mean, he was humongous. He sat down with his wife they were eating. And during the course of the meal, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him something about this bodybuilder. And so he said, well, I went over to him and he said, naturally, sometimes I just try to, you know, get an opening and, you know, make a little small talk before I say what I'm going to say. And he said, I just went over and said, can I ask you a question? And the guy said, well, yes. He said, have you ever lifted weights? And the guy laughed. Oh, yes. And they talked small talk. He said, well, I know this is going to sound strange. He said, but the Holy Spirit just told me something about you that I want to know if I can share it with you. And the guy said, well, absolutely. He looked at him. He said, when you were a little boy, you were sitting in your grandmother's lap and you were crying. And your grandmother told you that if you would turn to God and be faithful to God, he would make you as strong as Samson. How many know you got to be right when you say something like that? He's a weightlifter. He could plop. And he said the man looked at his wife, pointed toward his wife, looked at his wife, and it was like tears started rolling down his face. He said, how'd you know that? How did you know that? And he said, the Holy Spirit just told me that. He said, when I was a little boy, he said, when I was born, my daddy left. And 3 years later, my mama left, and she left me with my grandmother. My grandmother raised me. And I was out one day and when I was young and said, I think started to, and some boys threw rocks and hit me in the head with rocks. And I ran home, my grandmother crying, and she put me up in her lap, and she told me that if I would obey God, that God would make me as strong as Samson. And he said, and I didn't tell the end of the story. When this guy was telling this weightlifter what the Lord said, he said, and the Lord says he kept up his end of the bargain. You didn't keep up your end of the bargain. He gave his life to the Lord that day. He and his wife both got saved. Come on, somebody. Isn't that great? God can do it. It's called a word of knowledge. So when you begin to do that, you understand there's a, and then the second one is discerning of spirits. Here's another thing the Lord will use you in called discerning of spirits. Now, let me tell you what it is. It's to be made aware of the presence of a demonic spirit. Now, I'm not talking about seeing demons, you know, under your cabbage patch. I'm not talking about, you know, da-da-da-da, all that weirdness that takes place. But wouldn't it be great to know that if you were having problems, to know that, hey, there might be more than just some natural something else going down, that there is a demonic something attacking your kids, your family, your wife, your husband, whatever it may be? Listen, let me just say it again. There is no such thing as a gift of discernment. The Bible never says there's a gift of discernment. There's no such thing as a gift of discernment. The Bible tells us to have discernment. The Bible tells us to be wise and discerning. But there is no such thing as a gift of discernment. Most of the people who have a gift of discernment really have the gift of criticism. Come on, somebody. They try to place their judgment as God's judgment upon a person or a situation. To make it up. There's no such thing as a gift of discernment. It's called the discerning of spirits. And when you begin to understand that, there is discerning, and you need to understand. I remember one time I was praying for a guy up here at the altar. I'll never forget. I was just praying with him. I opened my eyes, and I didn't realize it, but you know what happened? One of his kids had taken a red magic marker and wrote on the front of his forehead. Because I'm looking at him, and all of a sudden I looked up, and written across the front of his forehead was the word bitterness written right across his forehead. And I'm thinking in my brain, he's going to whip this child when he realizes what happened. And then the Holy Spirit told me, he says, no, this is he's got a spirit of bitterness in him. I'm going to tell you, it's as real as if I thought a child had taken a red magic marker and wrote across the front of his forehead. When you understand that the Lord can use you, and you're just, I wasn't planning on that. I didn't think about that. One of the keys about it is understanding the difference between whether it's a spirit you need to cast out or whether it's a physical ailment that needs to be prayed for and healed. Jesus cast out a deaf and dumb spirit. He didn't pray for healing that there was something wrong with his inner ear problem. He knew it was a spirit causing this physical problem. Other times he put mud in the guy's eyes. He didn't cast out a spirit of blindness. It was a physical illness that needed to be touched. And so how do you know that? You have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to know the difference. William Branham was a great man of God back in the 40s, and he moved in healing quite a bit. And I read his autobiography. He wrote it. He said, you know how I knew the difference? He said, when one of them would be it, my hand would burn when I'd pray for people. When the other one happened, my hand would vibrate. That's how God used him. Diversities of ways that God uses different people. So God does different things at times. In Acts chapter 16, you read where Paul got upset because there was these guys that had this young girl who was fortune telling. And she would say all these things, tell these fortune telling. And not every fortune teller is full, is demon possessed. Some of them just make up stuff. I mean, I'm saying that just make up stuff and all this. And but this young girl, about, I don't know how many weeks went by, but Paul one day just had enough of it. And he discerned this little girl had a devil and cast the spirit out of her. And they beat him. not every gift works well, when you like, but wouldn't it be great to know if there was a spirit attacking your family? Wouldn't it be great to know if there was a spirit attacking your child? A buddy of mine, I won't say who he was in town, but his son took over for him in his ministry. And he said, one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me because they were about to do the transition. And he didn't know this, but his son was planning on resigning and leaving. And he didn't know that. He didn't understand that. And you know what it was? The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, pray for your son today. And when he did, he realized the Holy Spirit showed him there was a demon of depression. Not everything's a demon, okay? I'm not going to, don't get all so weird, but there was a spirit attacking this son of his to depress him to where he would just give up. So you need to have this in your ability in your life to where, okay, Holy Spirit, begin to talk to me. All right, third one is the word of wisdom. C is word of wisdom. A divine answer for a solution or a practical event. A divine answer. The blind man, remember the blind man Jesus healed? And then he went all, Jesus healed him and then left. And didn't talk to him much. They just healed him and left. And the parents were called in before the Sanhedrin and said, who, what happened? And they said, oh, ask him. We don't know nothing, because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. And they bring this blind man in, and he's untaught. He hadn't been to synagogue. They won't allow, they wouldn't allow this and that in because. And they begin, who was he? What did he do? What did he do to you? And he begins to tell them. And then they say, we don't know who he is. We know who Abraham is. We don't know who he is. He's a sinner, da, da, da. And this wise blind man has a word of wisdom. He said, isn't this a mighty thing? He said, you don't know anything about him. And yet he healed the eyes of a man born blind. When have you ever seen? And he said, and God, God doesn't listen to the prayers of a sinner for a healing like this. Isn't this an amazing thing? And the Bible says they threw him out too. So just be encouraged to be using the gifts. All right, be fantastic. And when you read the book of Acts, Paul one time was about to go somewhere, and the Bible says he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go in a certain area. forbidden by the, is a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is don't go there. Don't. Remember I told you, I get used by that a lot in my marriage. There's ever so often I begin to, say something, you know, about, you know, to criticize something that Jasmine may or may not have done. The Holy Ghost says, I wouldn't go there if I was you. How many of you have ever opened your mouth and wish you'd never opened your mouth? Can I get an amen in this Presbyterian church? All right, the second kind of gifts. That is the perceiving kind of gifts. Proclaiming gifts. This is proclaiming. The first one is perceiving gifts. Here's gifts that proclaim things out. First one is a prophecy. Prophecy is a message of encouragement for God through a person to a person or persons. Let me tell you this. The gift of prophecy is not the Old Testament office of a prophet. The Old Testament of a prophet was, you know, for tearing down and all this. The gift of prophecy is for encouragement. Everybody say encouragement. God gives the gift of prophecy for encouragement. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be what? Exhortation, exhorted, encouraged. And so the gift of prophecy is not the Old Testament. There's an office of a prophet that does all that. But when you operate in the gift of prophecy, you are being for encouragement. You're not going to, you know, do all this. The second one is the gift of tongues. A message from God in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. I had a buddy of mine one time. He was at LSU, and he spoke in tongues. And he believed that he didn't know what language he spoke. So what he would do is he would go around the different cultures, you know, all the different countries and people from different countries at LSU. He would go around LSU speaking in tongues to see if he could. One of them would say, hey, are you from my country? Well, he did that a lot, so he never found. But I'm going to do with that all by itself a little bit later, and I'll go back to that. And then the C is the interpretation of tongues. Understanding and expressing the thought and the intent of the message in tongues. And that's why if tongues are spoken in the main auditorium, you're supposed to have interpretation of them. Now, let me just say real clearly so you understand this. Whenever I go overseas and speak, I always have interpreters. I have interpreters that interpret. And what they do is, let me just say, at the UN, at the United Nations, they do not have interpreters. They have translators. And the difference is a translator is one that translates word for word. Because at the UN, if somebody stands up and talks about a bomb, they want somebody's interpretation. They want word for word whatever this, you know, ambassador is saying. The difference is interpretation. Whenever I go out to California, we always attend Jasmine's Armenian church. And they speak in Armenian. Well, they have a translation for English-speaking people that come. But ever so often, it's one of her aunts that translates. And the way it works is she doesn't translate. She interprets. Do you know what I mean by that? The guy will speak for 5-10 minutes, and she'll say, and Jesus said. Let me give you a better example. Growing up, we had two children, and we had a boy and we had a girl. And at the end of school day, you know, the boy and the girl would come home, and we would ask the boy, "How was your day?" And let me tell you how he would give his interpretation of 8 hours of his day. Everybody, how does a boy give his interpretation of 8 hours a day? Okay, that's 8 hours. Interpreted in boy language, all right? Then we had a girl. We asked her how her day is. Well, I got up a little bit late, you know, and I was in a hurry, and then I had to brush my teeth, and I would run out of toothpaste, and then when it was, you know, supper was, you know, I had breakfast, and then I got the first guy, and then the car right over there, you know, and then we had a substitute teacher, the first teacher, and went in, and I like her, hated her, got some, da-da-da-da. How many know you need time for the interpretation of her 8-hour day? So the Bible says it is the interpretation. That's why when if you're in a service and someone comes out with a tongue, I mean, come out with some flat. They come up with a language, and they speak a language that you don't understand. And I'm used to that because my wife speaks, you know, numbers. She speaks, I don't know how many languages. And so she speaks, I'm used to having all these languages around me that I don't have a clue what's being said in life. And, but interpretation doesn't mean a translation. An interpretation of tongue, that's why somebody come out with a long tongue and be a short interpretation, or a short tongue and a long interpretation. I just thought I'd throw that in there, but I'm going to deal with that all by itself. Third area is the power gifts. The power gifts are, the first one is faith, a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. When I first got saved, a buddy and I roomed together. We had a townhouse over on, I forgot where at in town. And we roomed together. We had a townhouse, two bedrooms upstairs and a downstairs kitchen and living room. And the day came, I remember when he came home one day after work, and he had gone to the doctor. He'd not feeling well. And I remember he came in and he said, I just got diagnosed. I got malignant cancer. And he gave me six to seven months to live. I mean, we were blown away. We couldn't believe it. And so we do the, you know, go through the normal denial and acceptance and dealing with it and all that. But I remember that he did this. He kept reading the Word of God. And one morning I'm in bed and I hear boom, 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 boom. I'm thinking, oh no, he's died. He's fallen down the steps. He's died. And so I run out real fast. And he's down at the bottom of the steps. He did fall down the steps, but he was shouting and crying when he was down at the bottom of the steps. I don't know. What's the number of 911? What's the number of 911? You get real to do. And I run down there, and here's what happened. He had stayed up most of the night praying, and God had spoken to him out of the book of Exodus. I am the God that healeth thee. You shall live and not die, but see the works of the Lord. And he had come alive in his life. And I mean, it wasn't somebody prepped him and here's what you're supposed to repeat like a parrot because here's what they say on, you know, wherever. It become live in his life. Listen, today, I think he's got 4 or 5 daughters. He lives in California with his wife who's a vet and he lived there and God healed and God he lived. Come on, somebody. It's just a word of faith. I mean, it's just a gift of faith comes, impartation and all that. I was, the next one is the gifts of healings, plural. Nobody has a gift of healing that you have to break through a crowd and go to them to get your healing. See, this is for everybody. These gifts are not just to be parted up and there you have to go find the certain person in the part of the body, even though they're going to operate mainly. But these gifts are for everybody. And the gifts of healings means many people, supernatural endowments of divine health. And one of the keys, I remember one time I'd gone through about 2 or 3 weeks of a bad throat and I couldn't get healed. I mean, it wouldn't stop hurting. I mean, it was like it was. And I was up on a Wednesday night about 2 or 3 weeks into it. And I was praying and I was saying, God, heal me. And I remember it wasn't like I didn't get a gift of faith. It was like the gift of healing came on me. And all of a sudden, it was like something tore loose in my throat. And I remember swallowing it, and then it was gone. My throat was, it was perfect. How many of you have ever been there I can't believe this. And I remember swallowing, and then I kept swallowing, and I know it's going to start hurting. You have little faith. I know it's going to start hurting again. And God healed me. There are seasons when God will just do in your life. And then the last one is the working of miracles. And again, it's plural, divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. Alters our natural circumstances. So what happened is this. Jesus said, when he told them, he said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourselves. I'm going to send a helper to help you. And then he said, he told me, finally came back again. He said, let me tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. You remember we talked about it. It's to your advantage I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him. My Father and I will send him to you. And the advantage, the reason, see, most of us would rather have Jesus here today than the Holy Spirit. But you wouldn't. If Jesus were here for 1 month, you'd decide, I think I'd rather have the Holy Spirit here. I'm not being irreverent. I'm telling you the truth because Jesus can only be in one place at one time. And when the centurion needed it, he could heal for his servant, he had to go find where Jesus was. What village is he in? Where is he at? And I told you this before, but where in the world would be Jesus? Maybe he's in Korea. We had to get a plane ride and go to Korea and bring whoever, whatever, over to Korea to have Jesus pray for them in Korea. But Jesus, it's to your advantage. We're going to do something totally different. He's saying this. I am going away. He's saying your goodbye. Say your goodbyes to me. I'm leaving. And then he said, but I want you to say hello to the Holy Spirit. Say goodbye to me, but say hello to the Holy Spirit. He's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And you don't have to go anywhere to get help. You can get help right where you are because the helper is in you. And he's going to have all, listen, none of us own the gifts. He's the owner of the gifts. He owns the gifts. They're his gifts. And anywhere we are, we can call out to the helper to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So when you begin to understand that he uses us in the gifts, and it is not that. Now, let me say this. No matter what your need is, maybe you need a gift of faith. Maybe you need the gift of tongues for a reason. Maybe discernment of spirit. It may be. But let me tell you this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and watch this, the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. The word fellowship came from a word that's about 2,000 years older than the New Testament. And what it did was it originally described the relationship, the intimate relationship between a man and his wife. And literally, when Paul wrote the difference, he says, the grace of Jesus, we know that Jesus, grace and truth came by him. God is love. But here is the word he used with the Holy Spirit. The fellowship. Everybody say fellowship with me. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship. It meant to enter in such an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit that literally it's like a husband and wife when they literally are intimate together. It's a word where we're supposed to have such an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit that Jesus said, it's better for I go away. It's to your advantage. I want you to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit because he's going to help you. And one of the ways he helps you is he's got all these gifts he wants to give you to be able to help you in your life. To know things like this guy did for this bodybuilder. To know things you wouldn't know by yourself. To be able to have faith at seasons when you need faith. See, these things are gifts that don't operate every minute of every day, but they're instantaneous. They happen in your life. And the Holy Spirit can use you and bring this gift. You need this gift right now. It says he divides them as he wills. And he does it because whatever the need is, that's the gift that he uses in your life. And so this intimate relationship, Jesus said one time in Matthew 6 and verse 6, he says, enter, but when you pray, go into your inner room or in your closet. Some of you have got closets you pray in after you saw the war room, which is fantastic. But the word inner room or closet, as it's used in the King James, it was a word that was used of where you put your treasure. Later, it was used of a bank, you know, where they put their treasure, their money into a bank. And then finally, it began to be used of the bedchamber. Of where, when a man and a wife have an intimate relationship. So it began to be used. And so Jesus said, when you do that, enter into your prayer, enter into that intimate time with the Holy Spirit, close the door. That's what he said, close the door. I could tell that some, we do a marriage seminar, and one of the things we used to do is, one of the sessions was close the door. And so we talk about that, and literally he says, close the door. Enter into your room and close the door. You know what he meant by that? Get alone with the Holy Spirit. Get along with him so that he can speak to you and you can have an intimate time with him. Jesus, when he used to take his disciples, he would make the 12 stay there. He'd take three of them and then he'd make them stand there. And then he would go on by himself in the Garden of Gethsemane by himself. Why did he do that? He didn't like them? He didn't like them praying with him? No. He was entering into his closet. He was entering into an intimate relationship and time with the Holy Spirit. He was doing that. He was going to have a time. You read all the time. He used to get up early in the morning, and the disciples, the rest of them would wake up. And where is he? He's out. He's having an intimate time with the Holy Spirit. And out of that flowed all the gifts and all the things that happened in his life. You know, he went to John the Baptist. You remember we read last week about the three different baptisms you need in your life. And how we talked about how Jesus received the Spirit baptism when he was at the Jordan River. He was water baptized, and then it said the Spirit came upon him. And then A number of weeks later, he's in his hometown. And he picks up the scroll and he reads, "The Spirit of God is upon me." Everybody say, "Upon me." And here's the key. "For he has anointed." The word "anointed" was a medical term used in that day of when a physician would put on his... They used a lot of herbs in that day, a lot of oils. A physician would put on his hands the oil and the herbs, and he would begin to rub whatever it was part of the body that needed the healing. And he would rub it on their sore muscles, and he would rub it. And so the word "anointed," when Jesus said, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me." He was literally saying, "The Spirit of God's upon me because God's hand is on me. The hand of God is upon my life." So when you talk about, say, somebody's anointed, you mean the hand of God's on their life. One of my favorite sermons, we used to travel the world with Brother Samuel. One of my favorite sermons he would ever preach was the hand of God, the hands of God. And he would start out by telling all the different hands that he had shaken in his lifetime. He'd shaken Helen Keller's hand. He'd shaken Winston Churchill's hands. He goes through this long list of all the, you would believe, the kings and the queens that he had shaken their hands. But he said, "But no hand compared to the hand of God." And he said, I'll never forget. He said one time he had gone, I think, to Egypt, and he preached revivals there. And long before there were microphones, and he had ripped his throat to the point where he could even hardly say anything. It hurt so bad, and it was stripped, and he'd gone to a doctor, and the doctor said, "You have to take 6 months off or you're going to permanently damage your vocal cords and all." And he takes a ship, and back in then, Brother Samuel, he didn't have enough money for the cabin and all that, and so they allowed you to sleep on the deck in those days. Give you a blanket, you slept on it, one of the deck chairs, and you just made your ship. So he's out on the deck and he's sleeping. And he says, he gets up, it's middle of the night, stars are shining, the moon's out. And he said, he begins just to weep and cry. He said, "God, my throat, my throat, my throat." And he said, he never will forget it. He said, he looked off the bow of the ship, and there came a hand toward the ship, just like that. And he said, he's watching it, and he said, he just knew instinctively what to do. He just lifted his chin, and that hand went right there, touched him, and instantly healed his throat. Come on, give him a good camera, would you? Does God have to be that dramatic in your life? No, but he can be. I mean, he can be. I remember one night I had a dream. I'll never forget it. I was dealing with fear. You ought to have seen this morning in the 9 o'clock service. How many of you know who Grant Smitschfranz is? You know who Grant Smitschfranz is? Grant's been here for, I don't know, 85 years or something like that. They've been here a long time. And he's very reserved. He's a very reserved person. He used to own his own company, but he's very reserved. And this morning he comes up right in the end of the song service, has a word from God. He's going to share it. And it was on fear. He was from Michigan. Anybody watch the Michigan State game yesterday? He's from Michigan, and you ought to see that he was kind of more for Michigan State than for Michigan. And he's watching, but he likes both of them, he says. He's watching toward the end of the game, and 50 seconds to go when Michigan gets the ball back, he changes the channel. He's had enough. He just changes the channel and goes to watch ESPN the beginning of the LSU game. He said LSU game started talking about, and then it went to commercial. Well, you know what you do. We got guys do. We got the clicker in our hand. We're just clicking back and forth. We just click, 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 click. So he just clicks back over. He just clicks back over to the Michigan State game. And he sees Michigan State in the end zone rejoicing. And he had prayed. He said he had prayed. And you know how this is. I think I won't go into the validity of praying for a side, you know. But he said he was praying that Michigan State would win in the last few seconds. He said, "I don't know why." He said, I just prayed that Michigan State would win in the last few seconds. He said, he turned back over. He could not believe it. But he talked about fear. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "You know, I missed not being and hearing from and knowing. I turned channels." He said, "A lot of us are turning the channel too fast. And we're not waiting to let God finish at the end because we think it's over. Come on." So, I mean, he took everything in him to get up here and say that. I mean, he really was shaking in his boots. And so he was. So maybe that's your life. Maybe God's going to use you, and you might be shaking in your boots at times. But let me tell you, faith is not the absence of fear or doubt. It's just what you do with your doubt or your fear. It's whether you allow that to control you or conquer you, or you go on and you do what you feel like God is telling you to do or say or be whatever. And so everybody stand up this morning. Would you stand up this morning? I don't know where you are. I don't know what you need in your life, but God wants to do something through you. The helper has come. And close your eyes right now, would you? The helper has come to do in your life what only he can do. And you don't have to live just a natural life. You don't have to maneuver through life just by your own strength and your own abilities and your own intellect. You can, listen, you can rely on the Holy Spirit to help you. That's why Jesus said when they drag you before kings and queens and all this, he said, take no thought of what you're going to say before him, because it will be my Spirit of my Father speaking you at that moment. And a lot of times what happens is when you just begin to speak or say or do or act or whatever, you'll be amazed what begins to occur. You'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit just gives you and you say, how did I know that? I didn't know that. How did I didn't know. Listen, the gifts are for everybody. They're not for the pastors. They're not for pastors, deacons, and a small group. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is given to everybody, the whole body of Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for putting your hands upon our lives. And I pray this week that every person in this place would move in a gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to listen to that. That's one thing I was praying, and I asked the Lord for this. I said, Lord, would you let every person in this place operate in a gift this week? Let every person, even the one that right now is saying, even the person right there that's saying that right now, that you would let them operate in the gift, that you would show yourself alive. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for wanting to walk with us more than we even want you to walk with us. So we thank you. We do this, Lord, would you be our teacher this week, that we would not be ignorant of spiritual gifts, that we would stir up the gift, that we would not neglect the gift, that we would allow it to operate in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Can you give Lord a good clap offer today? God bless you. We'll see you next week.